sowing the seed. What did I say? Sowing the seed. The next time you hear it, it's watering. Now, a lot of people do not think it's important to water the word. And that's why many Christians, well-meaning Christians, the word does not produce in them. Because sowing is important, watering is also what? Important. Paul said, I sowed, Apollos watered it. He came and repeated what I said. And the scripture says to Timothy, if you remind them of these things, they will be a good minister of the gospel. A good preacher reminds people, goes back and repeats it, reminds people, so that it is solidified in their mind, and then so that you understand more some of the things that you didn't get before. So some things we are going to teach is what I've said before in some of the places, and some things may be new to you. As I was preparing it, I said to the Lord, you are not done with this. He said, no, I'm not done with it. So I want it repeated. Amen. So we're talking about the name of Jesus in prayers and our relationship with God. The name of Jesus, the place of the name of Jesus in prayer and our relationship with God. We took our text, John 15:16. You have not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it you. And I've told you here that the fruit that Jesus is talking about is fruit of prayer, is fruit of answered prayer. That's why he said, bring forth fruit, that whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. And why is this so important? It's so important, brethren, because prayer makes tremendous power available. Prayer makes tremendous power what? Available. For the work of the kingdom and for your life as an individual. For the work of the kingdom and for your life as an individual. The Bible says we're kept by the power of God. Prayer makes tremendous, not small, tremendous power available and gets the work of God done. And so if the church does not know how to pray, then tremendous power will not be made available. And if an individual Christian doesn't know how to pray, then tremendous power will not be made available to him or her in her personal life. So there will be a lot of confusion. And you see, this is what gives rise to all this spiritism. When the power is not available to do anything, we engage in manipulations, we engage in 7 steps to prayer, 20 steps to doing this, the all manner of stuff that the Bible does not back up. We engage in doctrines that are not scriptural at all, because now the power is not making it available. We want to make it, we want to do it, we want to manipulate people to get it done. So, but there's a way that this thing works. The Bible calls it effective fervent prayer. Effective. It has to be effective. It's not all prayer that is effective. It's not all prayer that is effective. And so James 5:16 says to us, confess to one another therefore your faults, your sleeps, your false steps, your offenses, your sins, and pray also for one another that you may be healed and restored to a spiritual tone of mind and heart. I'm reading Amplified. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. And as we go forward, we are going to see how it's important that the church knows how to pray. Because it's this power that moves the work of God beyond anything a man can do. It's this power. And it is this power that keeps you. Paul was praying. He said that the church should know the tremendous power that's working in us and for us. That God should open our eyes to understand how tremendous this power is that works in us and is working for us. Amen. So prayer is a simple privilege of communication with God, conversation with God, to make power available to get things done. Simple privilege of communicating with God So to make power available to get things resolved in our lives as individuals and in our lives as a group. And the key thing is to understand the basis on which God answers prayer. To understand the basis on which God what answers prayer. Because I've seen people who are desperate giving out prayer requests to everybody, because to them they think the more people pray, then God will what? Answer. And he has always disappointed most of the time. And then, you know, when we talk about it, we say, no, hey, if you know the number of people praying, as if to say, God delivers by numbers. The scripture says God does not save by what? Numbers. But people will read that, they won't believe it. They won't believe it. They think God saves by numbers. So, you know, when people have issues, they're going around, look, this group, pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. That is one reason your prayer is not going to be answered, because you are not going to get unity in that thing. I've said it over and over. If you are serious, if you have a problem, the least number of people you are engaging, the better for you. So that you need to be united in that. You need to. And once you begin crossing particular number, there's unity becomes more difficult. Because the heart of man is deceitful. So they think it's number. Some people think it's position. They say, now everybody take your position. They take their position. And after praying their position, they say, change. They change position. And some people think it's pray. Yeah. So in other words, louder. Which means God will answer the louder. So why don't you get the microphone and make it really loud? And some people think God will answer because a particular person prayed it. So they're chasing the so-called anointed man of God. What I'm telling you is serious, because the church is ignorant. The level of ignorance in the body of Christ is alarming. I see leaders leading groups doing these things. John 16:23. And in that day, you will ask me nothing. Who is saying this? Jesus. He said, don't pray to me. Don't ask me anything. In that day. And we're going to find out that day, what day is talking about. In that day, you ask me nothing. Most assuredly, certainly, I say to you, whatsoever you ask the Father, what? In my name, he may probably give it to you. What did he say? Come on, talk to me. He will give it to you. Until now, you have not asked, you have asked nothing in my name. You have never done this before. Ask, and you will what? Receive. That your joy may be full. He said, in that day. So now we need to find out the day he's what? Talking about. And the verses before this tell us exactly the day he's talking about. If you go up in that John 16 to verse 12, they begin to have an idea to what Jesus is talking about. He says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into what? All truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has of mine, therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it what? To you. A little while, you will not see me. Again, a little while, you will see me because I go. So the day he's talking about is the day in which the Spirit of God will be released after he's gone to the Father, which is the day in which we leave the church age. So in that day, he said, in that day, when the Spirit comes, and he has come. On the day of Pentecost, he came. So this is the day he's talking about. He's saying, don't pray to me. But whatever you shall ask the Father in my name, in my name. Everybody say in his name. He said, whatever you shall ask the Father in my name, then he will give it to you. Now, he said that when the Spirit of God comes, he's going to lead us into all truth. I was trying to talk about it on Sunday, that he's not going to lead you into the ministry of Moses, because God shut down that ministry. God put it away and established it. He's going to lead you into the knowledge of the truth. And you can, it's amazing. The part of the revelation that the Holy Spirit will give about Jesus is his mediatory role between man and God. Nobody knew this until the Spirit of God began to explain it, that Jesus is the mediator between man and God. That's what Jesus said. When he comes, he's going to lead into all the truth. He's going to tell you about me, who I am, my role in your life, what I did on the cross, what I did after I rose. He said, now you won't understand it, but he's going to take it. Because about that time when he was talking to them, he hasn't died. So he said, he will tell you all this. So part of the revelation that the Holy Spirit was giving to the church was the tremendous revelation of grace through Paul, that Paul was sharing with all the churches. That's why he wrote most of the New Testament. Because through him, God was giving the revelation of Jesus to all the churches. Through him. I've had some Christians that say, Paul said this, Jesus said this, so we can't accept what Paul said. It's ignorance. It's confusion, because what they're talking is not true. It's not true. Because all scripture is what? I didn't hear you. Inspired by who? All you need to be is to be humble and say, I don't understand it, and God will teach you. There's no contradiction there. Because Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to reveal to you things about me. And so Paul had this revelation that I was writing to the churches about, you know, the church, what the church is like, the spirit, the gifts in the church, the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in the church, the role of Jesus in it. Like I was saying, one of the things that he revealed to us is the mediatory role of Jesus Christ between man and God. And without that mediatory role, I want you to listen to me, please. Until you see Jesus face to face, and for eternity, Jesus remains the go-between. There's no point in your life when Jesus is not your bridge to God. If you forget this, your prayer will be water. And I'm not kidding you, the devil is working hard to give people doctrines that have no business in the Bible. And they think that's why God will answer prayer. If you are going to New York, I don't know how many of you have been to New York, and you are going through George Washington, and the bridge is moved out, can you proceed? Exactly what Jesus is. If you move him out, there's no crossing. Just forget it. You are yelling, it's not the crossing. The man you are pursuing is not the crossing. 20 people coming together is not the crossing. Oh, Pastor God, I'm so good, it's not the crossing. There's only one mediator. There's only one bridge. There's only one bridge between you and who? And it's the man Christ Jesus. Christians must know this. Don't let the devil deceive you about this issue. Don't let him take you away from this. Colossians 3:17. And whatever you do, believer, Christian, whatever you do, no matter what it is, I'm reading, okay, let me read this one. Whatever you do or say, no matter what it is, do it as a representative of Jesus Christ, giving thanks through him to the Father, to God the Father. Can you put Amplified for me, or King James, or New King James Version? Amplified. And whatever you do, no matter what it is, in word or deed, Do everything, how? In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and dependence upon his person, giving praise to God the Father, how? Through him, because your praise can't go except it goes through him. The Bible, the scripture says, by him, let us therefore bring sacrifice of what? Praise. By him. By him. By him. Fear him. Through him. Again, the reason, 1 Timothy 2:5. For there is only one God and only one mediator. Only one God and only one between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people, a fact that was attested to at the right and proper time. And of this matter, I was appointed a preacher and an apostle, special messenger. I am speaking the truth in Christ. I do not falsify when I say this. He said, this is the truth about it. A teacher of the Gentiles in the realm of faith and truth. And the Lord Jesus himself said this to us in John 14:6. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and what? And what? I am the way, the truth, and life. No one can come to the Father except through. Can we be humble enough to accept that that is true? It's not because you have the so-called anointing. You are not the mediator. Forget it. It's not because you prayed for 10 hours. None of that is the mediatory, has any mediatory role between you and God. He said, no man can come to the Father except what? To me. And he said, I am the way, brethren. I am what? I am also the what? The truth. I'm also the what? And you know, he is really the only truth. That's why if you don't understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit, you will miss out. His focus is Jesus. That's not the truth. Christ. The man that wrote Jesus only is our message is correct. Look at Ephesians 4:21. New King James Version. Okay, we can read King James. Well, today is King James People's Day, their Remembrance Day. So we'll read it for them. After the Bible says, in honor preferring one another. So let's read it to make them happy. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is where? Church, what is the truth? So what is the Holy Spirit leading you to? The truth that is in Christ. The truth that is in Jesus. I've been begging you people here. I've been begging you. I said, do you want to grow as a Christian? If you want to see God's wonders, focus on knowing Christ. Just do that. You see your faith go and your life will change without effort. No effort. No effort at all. And these things that attract people will be dead, totally dead. I'm not kidding you. This is a fact. It will be totally dead. You are not even struggling with it. Because what are you struggling with is dead. All these anger tantrums and all these things that people carry around for 10 years, 15 years, it's because of lack of knowledge. Confusion in life is walking in darkness. But Jesus is the light of the world. I said it here on Sunday. Two ways to deal with this thing. Christ in you. Amen. Christ what? Mm-hmm. And then the word that the Holy Spirit reveals to you about it. period. So he's the truth. And he's the only life. 1 John 5:11. And this is the record that God had given to us eternal life. And this life is where? His son. You don't, there's no life in human activities. You don't get life by human activities. Life is in Jesus. That's why he said to the Pharisees, he said, you study the Bible because you think by all that your religious activity you get life. He said, but you come to me because life is in me. You are not coming to me, so you receive life. You think all those things you do, run all over the place, is what will give you life. It will give you life. And present day, that's what a lot of people think. They think if I'm engaged in so many things, it will change my life. It won't change your life. It's not going to change your life, I'm telling you. What will change your life is when you begin to eat the manna that is called Jesus. The manna, when you begin to eat the truth that is in him, when you feed on him, when you feed on him, life generates your life. Because he's the source of life, and he's the builder of life. Praise the Lord. And Jesus is the only way, like he said it. In Ephesians 3:12, Ephesians 3:12, because of Christ and our faith in him. New Living Translation, yeah. Because of Christ and our faith, what? Because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come how boldly and confidently into the presence of God. Because he is the mediator. Because of Christ. Church, because of Christ. Because of your pastor, right? Eh? Because of who? Christ. I want you to say it with me. Because of Christ. Say it aloud. Come on. Say it louder. I want to hear you say it more. Because this is what the devil confuses Christian about. He takes them away from focusing on Jesus, and they think it's because of whatever. And when their prayer doesn't work, they begin to blink and they say, God, after I have done so, I've done so. So they think it's because of those things. But the Bible says, because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently. Where? The God's presence. When I was going to New Hampshire all the time, going for all these meetings, you know, I would just come to George Washington confidently, driving across George Washington. Confidently, especially when I leave New Jersey by 9. There's not too much traffic. But there's always traffic in Connecticut. I don't know, they're always building something there. But you know, George Washington, I drive, I don't stop and say, will he carry me? No, he will carry me. And I'm driving through in the night and I'm blasting my worship, you know, having fun, just worshiping the Lord and being happy. That's what the Bible is saying. Because of Christ, the bridge, because of that bridge, solid rock, because of Christ, and your faith in that Christ, you can drive across to God confidently. How? Confidently. And what again? Boldly. But you know, the devil will tell you, well, you know, I know you now. How can you go? You can't go now, Abba. How can you go? You are not good enough. Do you remember so? No. Satan, shut up. It's not because of me. If it's because of me, I can't go. But because of Christ, and my what? Faith. Church, let me pause here and make a very serious statement. And I want you to don't write. Stop writing. Listen to me. You know, when God went to Israel and said to Israel, I have given you the what? The land. Come on. Is it a new story to you? He said to them, I have what? Were they in the land? But what did God say? Those of them who came up and said, there are giants there. And the giants are huge. We can't go there. They all died. Those of them who came up and said, whoa, God has given us the land. That's ours. They possessed it. If God says to you, because of Christ, and you have faith in him, you can come. It's like I've given you the land. I've given you access. If you sit there and say to yourself, oh, there are giants in my life. And the devil says, yeah, you can't go. Because of so. You will die there. You go the path and follow. But if you say, well, praise the Lord, if God says it, that's it. God has given me the land. He has given me access to him. I'm going boldly. Then you go boldly and possess your blessings. As simple. If God says to you, I've made you righteous. You are righteous. And you sit down there and be looking at all the giants in your life and then all the things that happened in your life. And you be looking at it and you say to God, no, no. And you think, you know, the devil will come and say, no, you are humble. You are so humble. So you say, yes, I'm so humble. Lord, you know I'm not coming because I'm a humble servant. You know, I used to do that. Hey, God, I used to do all that. Then he convinced me that I'm not supposed to go. So there are two of us that used to do that. So we'll come to the house and be praying to God and say, Lord, when we go to church, reveal our problem to our pastor. So he will mention it. Because the devil said to us, you're not worthy to go there. So we say, yeah, our pastor is worthy. Yeah. Two of us used to do that. Me and one other person. Praise the Lord. Ephesians 2:18. Now, all of us. Now, how many of us? Hey, if you are this side, if you are part of it, I want to hear amen. Okay, some of you didn't say. If you are there, if you are included, I want to hear amen. All of you said. Now, let me give you another chance. This side. If you are part of it, let me hear amen. How many of us? Are you there? I'm number one. I don't know whether you want to follow me. If you are there, I want to see your hand up. Please. What we want to defeat this night is demonic deceit. Subtle, but serious. And robbing Christians of effective prayer that makes much power available. Robbing them. Because if you don't go through George Washington, you're not going to there. So he says, all of us can come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit. Why? Because of what Christ has done for us. So this truth must be grounded in us. Let me show you something in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. You know, I was telling them yesterday, I went to see somebody. And let me tell you something. This person, there's no proof. There's no spirituality in this person's life at all. If you want to accuse him of being spiritual, you won't find one evidence. That if you take him to court and accuse him and say, this person is so spiritual, you won't find one evidence. So carnal. Blatantly carnal. But when I went there and I began to pray, I realized in my spirit how much love God has for this. I'm not kidding you. And immediately I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, you know, we come to you because of your son. I clicked with heaven immediately. I knew that. You're not telling me. I knew. When I clicked with heaven, I know. Boom, I clicked with heaven. That connection came, bam, immediately. And everything I was saying was just real. And I was sure of the answer to that. I was sure, doubly, triply, fortiply sure. Immediately I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, you know, it's because of your son, Jesus, that will come. And we're coming because of him. The thing clicked like cook, like that. I always know it. When I click, I know it. Clicked immediately. And that prayer I was so sure. Because when I finished, I had that persuasion that the answer was there. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Ifeanyi, can you come? My brother, can you come? I want to show us something. This is Ifeanyi. Let's say Ifeanyi is 90% holy, right? Eh? And my brother come. My brother is a... Hey! Somebody doesn't like my brother is... you know the person. You get him like... So he said he will take vengeance. So his holiness is 50%. It's 50%. So, and let's say, I don't want the Kurobia people to talk about me because they give me zero. But let's say I'm 5% righteous, right? That's good. 5%, 50, 90, right? None of us is good enough. None of us. Not one. No, not one. He is so wonderful. Let us even raise it now to 90%. Okay, he's no more taking vengeance. Now he's 70. And my own is still 5%. Before God, we are the same. It's not by measure of the same thing with righteousness. The righteousness that God gives is not in measure. It's the same. It's 100%. When God calls you righteous, 100%. It's not, you can't be more righteous in heaven than you are now. Amen? Thank you. And then because of that, that's why God says, I've given you the way to come to me. It's because of what he did. Because you will never measure up. You will never what? Measure up. Never. Not going to happen. And is that when you take that advantage and come to God, and God begins to walk in you, give you understanding. See, the things we do is because of ignorance. When you have understanding about certain things you do, you won't do them again. You will not do them again. You know, sometimes when I see what people do, I'm like, wow, I used to do this. What? I used to yell at people. I used to get angry. I found out how foolish. It looks so ugly to me. It looks so ugly. There's no glory in that. But you won't know until God, and it's in Christ, your eyes is open. You won't know. That's why you don't force people. You don't beat people. Just be patient. Because God is also patient with you. Even as I'm talking to you, there are still many issues now. But believe me, when I go to God, I go in the name of Jesus. I'm confident that he honors that name. Amen? Are you getting what I'm saying? So Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus. I want to show you where Jesus is in your life. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord. I'm reading New King James Version. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Where? So why the blessing? Because we are, because of Jesus, right? If you're in Christ, are you joined to Christ? Yes. So New Living Translation says because you are joined to Jesus. So these blessings, it calls it spiritual. You know why it calls it spiritual? The source is God. God is the Father of all spirit. The things that are seen are made by the things that are not seen. It's spiritual because God is the source. It's coming from the things we don't see. But it manifests in the realm that we see. So he's giving us every spiritual blessing in heavenly places that heaven has in Christ. So, and then verse 4. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love. When it says in love, who is that love? This is my beloved son in whom in love is in Christ. Verse 5. Having predestined us to adoption as sons. Predestined us, that's God's plan. It's not predestination in the way people look at it. What he's saying is this is God's plan before we even were born. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by who? Oh, come on. By who? Jesus Christ himself. According to the good pleasure of his will. To the praise of the glory of his grace. His mercy, his goodness, of his grace, by which he made us accepted. You see, he said it is his grace that made us accepted or righteous in the beloved, that is Christ, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his what? I've gone to verse 6. What verse are you in? 7. And he's in 6. Praise the Lord. So we can see clearly the pleasure of Jesus Christ in our dealing with God. Now, having established that foundational truth, the next time you go to God, please, don't go there with evil heart of unbelief, because your prayer will not be answered. Unbelief is evil. It was because of unbelief that God said to Israel, you will never see my promise. They didn't commit anything. It's just because they didn't believe his word. That's all. He said, they will never smell my what? Promise. Because they refused to believe. And today, if you still do that, because the Holy Spirit was warning the church, he said, be sure that there's no evil heart of unbelief is found in any of you in departing. It will take you away from God. Again, the land, I've given you the land. I've given you access to me by my grace. Because of my son, come. You say to God, there are giants in my life. Stay there now. You die there. It's only the Calebs and Joshua. Those people have the spirit of faith who say, yeah, Lord, thank you for your grace. I'm embracing it. They are the ones that will enter the land and eat the promises. Amen? So now here we are. Therefore, prayer should be a simple conversation, not a stressful, sweat-dripping, hair-splitting exercise. That kind of thing should be reserved for the gym. It belongs to the gym. This is why people don't pray, because they think it's too much. There's too much stress there. From this idea of, we have to pray to 2 hours. If they call you for that, go home. Don't do stuff like that. It's not by power. It's not by might. It's by my spirit. Say the Lord. And I can take you through all the requests that was made to Jesus. Simple people in street corners, in their homes. No religious posturing. Simple requests made, and incredible miracles came as a result of it. Jesus never said, until the time the anointing is moving. No. Can we learn from that? That prayer shouldn't have any stress at all. Because Jesus said, my yoke is what? There's no stress. Once you start stressing, you're walking in the flesh. I don't care what you're doing. Once you start stressing about it, that's your flesh. Because once you engage your spirit, you start flourishing. Immediately. Because it's not you. I don't see if I'm driving home stressing at the steering. Because it's not his power. He's cruising and listening to music. And then if he has peanut, he can be taking some and driving home. He's cruising. Why? The power that is powering him home is not him. And he will never be tired. But supposing he stops the car and starts walking, what will happen? He starts feeling it. That's exactly what happens. Once you start walking in your flesh, oh boy, start feeling all the stress. Oh, I'm struggling to forgive them. That's your flesh. Forget it. When you learn to walk in the spirit, you find that the things that are not possible with man will become possible too, because the power that walketh in you is God himself. All you do is watch God do stuff. That's the Christian life. It's the easiest thing. You watch Jesus live. It's an amazing thing. You can't reproduce it in Hollywood. When you learn to watch Jesus daily, you can't wait to wake up and watch him. I'm not kidding. You can't wait to wake up and watch him love people. You'll be amazed at his life. Praise the Lord. And so, this prayer thing is a discussion. Isaiah 118. Come now, let's settle this. I love this. New Living Translation, Isaiah 118. Come now, let's settle this, says the Lord. God say, hey, all right, come, let's settle this thing. Let's settle this issue. Can we read it in the Amplified? Amplified. Come now and let us do what? Says the Lord. So he wants us to come and let's reason. Let's settle the issue. Or you say, Pastor, is that? Yeah, Isaiah 43:26. Isaiah 43:26, we read Amplified, we read New Living. Please go there. Isaiah 43:26. This side of this sanctuary, God is healing somebody. You have something in your head. I don't know what it is. I think you had a headache. You're always having a headache or something, but God is healing you. It's this side of this sanctuary. The hand of God just touched you. And you know it. But you didn't know it was healing. Amen. Isaiah 43:26. Put me in remembrance. Remind me of your merits now. Let us plead and argue together. Another, you see, God says, come now. Let's come and tell me. Remind me. Yeah, let's talk about your issue. Come. Let's discuss it. And then let us plead and argue together. Set forth your case now that you may be justified or proved right. You say, yeah, come. Let's. It's not a bang, 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 bang. No. Sit down. Let's talk. I love that New Living Translation. He said, come now, let's settle this. Eh? Yeah, the version does. Yeah. Yeah, I'm the one who wipes away all your sins. I do this to please myself. I will not remember your sins. Amen. Yes, that's it. Amen. So he says, come, let's talk. That's what God is saying. Hey, come. Don't come here and be doing gymnastics here. Let's talk. And instead of sitting down to talk, you are saying, and God is saying, listen, talk, sit down, let's talk. What I want you to do is reason together. Show me your reasons why you are justified for this thing. Let's discuss it. I've said it here. That's why people don't succeed in prayer. Because they don't know what prayer is. New Living Translation says, Isaiah 43:26. Let us review the situation together. And you can present your case to prove your innocence. Come and show me why this thing has happened. Let us review the situation what? Together. Now, if I'm reviewing things together with you, is it not that I should also want you to talk? Eh? Do you think Christians allow God talk? For where? For where? He has prayed, he walks away. I was wondering why this thing didn't work. God says, I want us to do it together. Come, let's talk. Let's review it. Amen? And then he was telling us that this is father and son something. He said, you people are evil. You know how to give good things to your children. How do you think I will give? So he said, father and son talk. Father and daughter talk. Amen? I didn't hear him. There was an issue I was asking God. One time I went to man. I just wanted to study. So I put my leg on my stretcher. I said, Lord, let's settle this now. I said, let's just settle this. I said, I've been asking you this and you're not telling me anything. Let's settle this. I said, we have to sort out this now. So tell me about this. And he started talking to me. Immediately, and that the problem was solved. I said, Lord, let's settle this. So you say, let's settle. Let's talk. Let's reason together now. This is my point. So it's your turn. He said, this is the reason this is happening. This is the reason. He told me. So this reason. He said, if you do this, this will happen. And that was that. That was the end of it. Praise the Lord. Look at Mark 7:25. Let's see somebody having conversation with God. Am I communicating anything? For a woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard about him, and she came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she kept asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. But Jesus said to her, let the children be filled first now, for it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to what? Is this a conversation? Huh? I'm asking you. The woman is making her case, and Jesus is making her case. God said, come, let's reason it out. Don't be afraid, let's talk. Okay? And then the woman answered and said to him, yes, Lord. Is this a conversation? Come on. Yes, Lord. Yet, even the little dogs under the table eat from the children's crumbs. Then he said to her, She will talk. The Lord will talk. She will talk. The Lord didn't get angry. I said, you know I'm Jesus. Stop. So he said, yeah, let me hear you. Okay? So the woman said, this is what I need. I said, you are not qualified for that. The woman said, I know, but the crumb. What the crumb doesn't belong to the children. So it belongs to the dog. So all I need is a crumb. And Jesus said, yeah, you're right. He said, come and convince me that you're justified for this. Okay? And then he says, and she answered and said to him, yes, Lord, even the little dogs under the table eat from the children's crumbs. Can we read 29 together? Then he said to her, what? For this saying, go your way. The demon has gone. He said to her, you've made your point. You are justified. Your point is what? Made. So you're good to go. Is anybody following me here? I've said it. When you go to God, be real. Stop pretending. Sometimes what we call faith is just much. Go there and be real. Lord, this is paining me. I've stood on faith. It's not working. It's paining me. I need this thing out. Is there anything I'm doing wrong? Is there, and then you know the best argument you bring to God that qualifies you is his will. Your Bible says, so. So that should be my case. I want to hear you on this. Because this shouldn't be happening here. Oh, yeah. And God said, yeah, that's what I wanted you to come and let's talk. And can you clean your ears and hear me? It's important that you hear him. Because he might be giving you an instruction that will change that. Or correction that will change that. It's important. It's what? You must hear him. And I didn't say you must go and be waiting for an audible voice. I've warned over and over. Don't you try that. If you do that, demons will start talking to you. He can talk to you while you're studying your Bible. Even in the Bible study, like, even during Sunday school. You must know the way God communicates with you. But when he talk to you, he will. Because he's the one that said, come, let us what? He's the one that said, wow, let's do this together. He said, anything that touches you, touches me. I feel for you. But come, let's talk. Praise the Lord. There's a brother that was sick, and then he went to prayer, and the Lord said, you are owing somebody for a long time, and you don't want to pay that debt. He said, go and pay your debt and be healed. That it's important that it's so critical that you do it together with him. Because if you don't know what he's saying, you can't have faith to believe nothing. You must know what he's saying. We see the scripture about that. Amen? I said amen. Look at it in Job 23:3. Job knew how to pray. He said, if only I knew where to find God, if only I knew where to find God, I will go to his court. What am I going to do there? I will lay out my case and present my what? This man knew how to deal with God. He said, I'll go to his court. It's a court. I'm lay my case. I'm presenting my argument. Then what else did he say? Then I will listen to his what? Reply and understand what he says to me. That's prayer. That is prayer, church. Job says, if I know where to find him, but you know where to find him now. Anywhere you say in Jesus' name, you are in his presence. Job says, if I knew, I'll go to his court. I want to present my case. My argument, I want to put my reasons. Remember that God says, come, let's reason together. He said, I want to lay it down. Then I want to know what he has to say. And I said to people, don't stop praying until you know what he has to say. It is that thing he says that will be the foundation for your faith. To say, it is done. Sometimes people don't know what God is saying. Their mind is talking to them. They think it's God. It's always, the Bible says, at the mouth of two or three, always ask God for a second witness to help you come to realize that this is God. And don't be in a hurry to rush out and say, God has told me. Because maybe it's not God. Maybe you desire something so badly you think God has spoken. Are you following my point? And it is that thing that God says that really builds your faith. In Romans chapter 4, 18. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken. So, verse 18 again. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was what? I didn't hear you. Which means he had God. God said something to him. You don't wake up on presumption and say, yeah, I believe. You don't believe nothing. God says something to him. He said it is according to that which was spoken. So shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. Why was he doing that? Come on. He heard from God. And faith cometh by, that is what brings faith. You can study the Bible from Genesis to without having faith. What brings faith is what God tells you personally. It's the revelation, the Holy Spirit, what? The entrance. When God reveals it, it comes like light into you. Wham! Then the word enters. That's what faith comes. And when faith comes, you won't be going around and asking some questions people ask. Once you start asking questions about why God, about this situation, you don't have faith. Because if you have, you call it what? Done, settled, forgotten. Case closed. Once you start talking about it again, I will advise you to go back to God and say, Lord, I have a problem with doubt. You need to help me. I'm really struggling with it. Be real now. I'm really struggling with this thing. I need to believe this, but I'm struggling with believing it. I need for you to help me. How? I need to get out of this doubt. And God will help you. You get what I'm saying? God, instead of sweating and confusing, go to God and say, Lord, I'm confused. This is weighing on you. I need help. Lord, I need to believe you, but I found that I'm struggling with this thing. I need your help. Praise the Lord. I didn't hear you. I heard of a man who was sick, and then the pastor came. And he said to the pastor, Pastor, I'll tell you before God, I don't have an answer for it. He said, I've been struggling, I don't have faith. He said, I told God, I don't have. I said, God, please, need to help me. I'm struggling to believe this thing. It's tough for me. And God healed him instantly. Instantly. Because God is merciful. He went to God and bared himself. And God lifted him up. The humble, God will never despise. Praise the Lord. Instead of going to do macho, why don't you be real and say, Lord, I'm struggling with this thing. I know I'm supposed to believe it. I'm not even sure whether I believe this or not. But Lord, please, please. I throw myself into your mercy. You've got to help me out of here and help me to believe. Help me to. Where am I missing this thing? And God in his mercy will quickly send help, because he knows that, he said, if you call upon me in the days of your trouble, I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. I'm going to begin to help you out of that. Am I helping anybody? Do these things. You see a lot of things confusing you come into play. They just line up. Because you don't have, you didn't ask. You've been being macho, pretending you have faith. If you are declaring I'm free, let it be that you are free. Let it not be that you are bound by something and nobody knows. Because if you are bound by anything, you better go to God and say, Lord, I should be free. This thing is, he said, nobody knows it, but two of us know. You should help me out. I got to be free of this. This shouldn't be happening in my life. Shouldn't, because I'm a child of God. This is your will. This is your word. You are presenting your argument. And they say, Lord, I'll be talking until I hear you on this. And you will hear him. Maybe not that day. But if you keep at it, he will come to your help. Praise the Lord. Am I shooting over your head? All right. Now, One more thing I need to bring to our attention is, wow, is that we need to be instant in prayer. We need to be what? Instant in prayer. Now, remember what we're doing is to how the church can have effective prayer so that much power is made available. So now we need to be instant in prayer. Romans 12, 12. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. What's the next one? Continuing instant. What does instant mean? Immediate. As soon as the need arises, church, don't wait until you go home. As soon as you have the opportunity, you're by yourself, either you're walking away or you're in your car, start talking to God right away. You know why? If you give time, the devil will bombard your mind with things that will make it more difficult for you. He will attack you. He will come and bring fearful things into your... Before you wait for that particular special time, he's loaded you with a lot of things. But instant, before he has opportunity, you have started talking to God already. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. You must be instant in prayer. You got to be. Once something is happening, there's no time to wait. It is now time to pray. Pray. If you can find a place, find a spot and go and say, Lord, wow, this is, you got to help me here. What do I do here? This is what your will says. This is what your will says. This is what your will says. You promise to help me, Lord. Help me. Just go to God. Be instant in prayer. Don't wait for a special time. Brethren, God does not answer prayer because of a place, a person, or any other reason. He answered because you asked. And you asked in the name of who? So it's not because waiting for... I've said it. Did you ever hear Jesus say to somebody, this thing you are asking, come, we have a meeting in the evening. No. No. Capital. Even in the desert, he provided food for them. He said, these people, if they go, they will die of hunger. Let me give them food here. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. So you take advantage, even if it is we have organized prayer, like prayer meetings, that's wonderful. You pray. If you have your personal time of prayer, beautiful. You pray. God doesn't answer because you have that personal time. It's because of Jesus. The personal time of prayer really is good because it inculcates discipline in you. It helps you to develop the habit of prayer. But is it a special time that God does something at a particular hour? I don't think so. I don't think so. Because as far as God is concerned, every hour is as good as the other. Praise the Lord. I didn't hear you. Anytime, any place, call upon the name of the Lord, he will answer you. Amen? Somebody came to Jesus, he said, my daughter is what? Dead? Yeah, he said, come and what? Come and, my daughter is sick. Say, come. And the wife said, they say he's dead. Jesus said, don't worry. I've heard your prayer. I'm coming. How many minutes did that prayer take? On the main road. The man ran there on the main road. Street, Umuchu Street. Because there was a need. The need came. He started talking. He started. You don't wait. Brother, you don't wait. If there's a need, find a corner. If it's toilet, enter into the toilet, lock the door. And start talking to God, what? Right there about it. Because he will answer you. Some things God will stop it before it gets worse. You are not waiting till you get to him. It might be too late. No, I'm not waiting. Okay, I've heard you. Just give me a few minutes. I want to do something. You don't say to them, okay, no, I want to go and pray now. Please. Just find yourself somewhere and say, Lord, I came to. Let's discuss this. This is your will written in the Bible. This is what you said. This is what you promised me. And now, Lord, see this thing happening. You need to help. you need to help me. Show me what to do. Let your name be glorified. And Lord, you need to talk to me because I must hear you on this issue. Is anybody getting my point? Acts 4:23. I'm being let go. They went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them, unto them. 24. And when they had that, they said to them, you know, we have prayer meeting in the evening. So when you come in the evening, we'll pray. What? When they had that, what did they do? Instant. It's not tomorrow. Right away, there's a need there. They started. Immediately, they're not waiting for anything else. They lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, see how they argue their case. They said, Lord, number one, you are what? Which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is continue. They started to lay their case. Who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathens rage? And the people imagine, are they making a case? Okay, the next verse. The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. What are they saying to God? You said this, you know. Then verse 27. For of a truth now, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together, for to do whatever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. 29. And now, Lord, you see how they first of all made their argument from Scripture? Say, this is what you said, and this thing is happening now. And they say, and now, Lord, behold, what you said is now happening. Behold, they are threatening. And grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak the word, thy word, by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done. Come on, church, may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. Let's see what happened. And when they had prayed, the place was shaking where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with what? Boldness. 32. And the multitude of them that believed were one of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. 33. And with great power. You see, the prayer of the righteous makes much power what? Available. Power was made available. Now, question I want to ask you. How long did that prayer take? Immediately a problem came. Instantly they started. Instantly. It's not going to come. Be instant in prayer. Be instant in prayer. Be instant in what? Don't wait. The same thing, if you miss it, tell God right there, I'm sorry, I missed it. Forgive me. Don't wait. So now, and with great power, gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of who? Jesus Christ. And great grace. Can you imagine when you pray about something in your life and great power is made available to you? And great grace comes upon your life. It will daze the people around you. But when our prayer is ineffective, it's not effective, no great power is made available. And that's when we start struggling, killing ourselves, praying like Professor Ba, cutting ourselves, punishing ourselves, thinking that punishing yourself, doing that is what will make it work. It won't make it work. It will block your way. The only bridge is Jesus. Amen? Did you people get what I'm saying? And I'm done. This man has a message for us. Come and give you a message 1 minute.
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Four Square Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.